Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you for blessing us with your presence during the study hour and now and in the children's story and now in the Sabbath hour for the sermon, the changing of the showbread again. So please give us understanding and utterance and opportunity to share what we learned today with others. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. Thank you so much for blessing everybody that's on our prayer list and answering our prayers the way you do, and even answering no sometimes, because it's we have learned, thanks to your Holy Spirit, that your will far supersedes ours. We have suggestions, and but if it's we don't know the end from the beginning. So thank you for caring for us in a way that sometimes you do have to say no, because we do ask amiss. And so thank you, Father, and please accept this prayer and this gathering in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And thank you also, Father, for blessing us with good internet this week. And please bless us with even better soon so we can do audio and video, if that be your will. Okay. All right. Now, let me check really quick here, because I've done an awful lot here on the 144,000, and I'm even thinking of another sermon about the mission of the 144,000. I don't know if I'm going to go that route. But I have a page on the site which I just quickly summarize some stuff on it. But, okay, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, there's the 144,000 part 1, 2, 3. The Q&A as to who are the 144,000 on the Q&A page, which actually is a video now. The 144,000 cannot die because some preachers that fell off the path, Enriquez, in fact, he preaches that the 144,000 can actually die and resurrect. In other words, they've already died, and they can resurrect at the end of time and then and be with the 144. And the Bible doesn't say that. And then, of course, the Gideon Band, Joel chapter 2, that MP3, and then the Gideon Band all on its own, the first one I did years ago. This one is answering two big questions, this actual sermon. Both of them, you know, like the first one, are they only Jews? Because I've gotten that question quite a bit. And are you sure it's all is exactly 144,000? And not, you know, in other words, is it a symbolic number? But let's look at the Jew thing first. You know, are they only Jews? And just by doing the sanctuary study that we did today, and again, like I said last Sabbath, I don't plan that. My Sabbath study hour is something I did months ago. Like I'm 41, I'm always like at least 40 to 42 pages of notes ahead of time, which means months ago I did that study, months ago. And I didn't know the Lord was going to have me do this sermon on the 144,000 until, I think, 3 or 4 days before Sabbath. Usually it's, I think this one was on the Sabbath prior, because I go into study on Sabbath, and a lot of times he'll give me a sermon. But the way these two things lock in, the study hour and this sermon, is just amazing how he does that. And we've seen that happen many times over the years as a church family, you know, like when Brother Craig gets up and preaches a sermon, or someone else does a sermon, or even the 5 o'clock hour. You know, it's amazing how, because we never, I mean, we'll put the title of the sermon on Remnant of God. And I put the wrong date this week, I'm sorry. I had the 25th up there, it should have been the 18th. But we'll put that up there, and that's about it. No one really knows. No one plans any of this stuff, but the Holy Spirit does. And so I want to praise his name for that. But as we know, when it comes to are they only the Jews, Revelation is filled with many prophetic symbols, and even some literal ones. Take, for example, how the Apostle John is speaking to an angel. One needs to ask, is the angel a symbol, or is that angel simply an angel? You know, I mean, well, it is obvious that in prophecy, an angel is declared to be a messenger, and in this case, that messenger is, in fact, a literal angel. And so, we must always use both common sense as well as caution when defining prophetic symbols, especially after we see what Jesus said in John 14:29, which happens to be my favorite verse. And now I've told you before, come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. That's why I built a website called John14:29.org, because I love the way prophecy works. You don't, like, there's some really meaty prophecies out there, and a lot of times you don't get it until the prophetic event happens. But in these last days, most of the stuff that's prophesied to happen, yeah, we kind of know. All right, so, but there's still some little things out there that, wow, I never knew that was something that Isaiah was talking about. And that's why I do the blog, because a lot of the stuff out there you don't catch until after it happens. So, but you know, the John 14:29 thing is like I say, it's an amazing thing, the way he declared that, because that need-to-know basis is very important with Christianity. Because what if the wicked knew what we knew? They would be able to write sermons that could possibly deceive the elect. But what comes off as a literal statement in some books of the Bible eventually comes forth as prophetic statements in historic reality. And all too often, many ignore this and assume what they see in the prophetic word as being a revelation from God. And with their self-inspired opinion, they go forth to declare it as such, only to end up exposed as a false prophet due to the fact they ignored what was written in 2 Peter 1:20, which is knowing this first. In other words, this is foremost a very important thing he's about to say. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And so when that which is prophesied fails, as they assumed, well, then they're exposed. And that's one of the reasons prophecy is written the way it is. And that's why John 14:29 says what it says. Unless you study the Bible, you're not going to, because a lot of people that don't read Bibles or just surface read them, they come up with all these, I mean, like that Catholic man that was saying that the end of the world was coming on specific dates. I think he came up with 4 or 5 dates in the course of 2 years. That's because he obviously never read the verse that says, no man knoweth the day or the hour, but the Father only. And so I must say, ever since I started to study prophecy as a young man, I learned early on to stand on the side of caution when seeking to declare a certain prophetic event in great detail without first looking into both its definition as well as the possibility of its already confirmed fulfillment. I mean, you got to dig deep when it comes to prophecy. That's why a lot of people don't want to touch it. You know, I've seen many a preacher stick his foot in his mouth on this one. I mean, especially when it comes to those that preach a secret rapture, who have egg on their spiritual faces for quite some time now due to the fact that many of their so-called prophetic definitions, where they didn't use the Bible to define them, they used their own opinions. And these definitions or these prophetic events that they talk of, they say were supposed to happen after all the Christians mysteriously disappear, right? Well, some of them have already been confirmed fulfilled. The ones that they found in the Bible, that is. The ones they made up from the gap theory of Schofield, nah, that stuff's never going to fulfill. But yet, they and their followers are still on the planet. And so they don't seem to mention any of that, especially like the late great Planet Earth author, I think, Hal Lindsey. Boy, he stuck his foot in his mouth a lot of times in that book, especially when he was starting to talk about Ezekiel and saying that glory, the glory of the Lord revealing himself to Ezekiel, who called that the Vietnam War. And now the guy's a multimillionaire because the people want the smooth things. And so when we look at the 144,000, we must look at it from both sides of the truth so as to be sure what's being presented. And those two sides are the symbolic and the literal. And so if the number is to be taken literally, then some may believe we seem to have some issues with that understanding. Well, issues a scoffer would use as fodder. So, I mean, because being a scoffer means you don't have the Holy Spirit, and without the Holy Spirit, prophetic truth cannot be seen, because the only way you can understand prophecy is to obey the guy that wrote it. And so they have no choice but to bow to their own assumption. And thanks to this being the end times, I praise God for this ever since I was young, there are billions. And I'm not praising him for this. I mean, the fact that we got all sorts of, oh man, it's our hands are filled with all sorts of good things that we can present in regards to prophecy, that all these things are happening in our lifetime. There's so much stuff. But there are billions that will clamor to their camp I mean, next to no one studies Bibles anymore. And this is, that's a prophetic event being fulfilled right before all our eyes and their eyes, but they don't see it. And so one can expect the overwhelming majority is going to scoff at truth as it is presented by the Lord, because the majority of Christians today don't know our Lord. And so, digging into this, we see in Revelation 7 that the number, 144,000, that number is made up of 12,000 souls from each tribe. It says in Revelation 7, verse 4, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." It then goes on to list the names and declares 12,000 are to come from each tribe. But before getting into the number, to see if it is literal or symbolic, we know our God is no respecter of persons, and His grace is offered unto all. For it is written in Acts 10:34, that Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." I mean, pretty blunt. No getting around that one. Don't have to do a lot of research to figure out what he's saying there. And so it seems a bit odd that only 12,000 will be selected from each tribe when we know our Lord does not pick favorites. And that's where the scoffer is going to hang his hat, right? And on top of that, how is this even possible when you look at the historic record regarding the Jewish people as a nation? You know, ever since the Jews stepped out of their captivity in Babylon 2,500 years ago, it was never put forth back then that they must not intermarry within the races around them. Well, except the tribe of Levi to some extent. But even there, no one is 100% sure to this day. Yes, as per biblical record, that was how the Lord preferred it be. In the beginning, of course, intermarriage was not allowed before this time. But the Jews have always been known to rebel. So, and so finding a pure-blooded Jew from each tribe would be literally impossible today. But then the scoffer jumps up and says, "Well, what about the 7,000 that the Lord hid?" Well, since we no longer live in medieval times, wherein mapping the planet was only possible via the length of the mapper's own civilization, you know, they thought the entire world was the, you know, around the Mediterranean Sea for quite a while, or even around the Jordan. And so they didn't, it wasn't possible to map the planet. You know, with the exception of some oceanic depths and a village or two in the Amazon jungle today, the entire planet has been mapped. And the only reason I say the Amazon jungle is because, yeah, that jungle has been mapped corner to corner. But a lot of people don't stroll in there because of what happened to those Christians that came in there one time. And these people never saw airplanes, for one thing. They never saw people with the colorful clothing and white skin on top of that. And so they killed a lot of those Christians. But the Christians still went back there. And now there are Christians in that jungle. But we can rest assured that there isn't a collection, because we've mapped the planet today, except, of course, like I said, the depths of the ocean. And so that means there isn't a collection of pure-blooded Jews hiding in any nation on earth right now. I mean, after all, it's not like it was back in Elijah's day, where the Lord was able to hide 7,000 who never bowed to Baal. Remember? Today, I mean, think of this. If there was a collection of pure-blooded Jews like this, you know, 12,000 from each tribe on the planet, one would think the Jewish nation would be all about flaunting that. Everybody in the world would know about it, and so, you know, that way they can gain more authority in what they claim is a chosen privilege. You know, like a lot of people think, just because you're in a certain church, you're thinking, oh, you're guaranteed salvation. The church will go through. Well, then explain that to the Jews. Explain that to the Lutherans, and explain that to the SDAs. Seven churches, four movements. No getting around Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7. There's just no way. Because if you're going to go through, then the Jews should still be in the ship. The Lutherans should still be in the ship, as would the GC, kind of 501c3 SDAs. And so, I mean, they still believe they are biblical Israel of God. But, you know, the Jews, that is. But then we know what the Bible says about replacement theology, both prophetically as well as doctrinally. And not to mention that, all being confirmed many times over historically, but I mean, the truth is, by the time Jesus visited us 2,000 years ago, all 12 tribes were already mostly mixed due to intermarriages. because what went down 500 years prior. And so today, 2,000 years later, you're not going to find a pure-blooded Jew. And even if you use DNA mapping on each individual, you're still cannot hope to find a pure Jew from any tribe. It's just not going to happen. DNA ain't going to change what's, I mean, mapping their DNA ain't going to change reality. They're mixed. And as I intimated a couple of weeks ago, while touching on this in passing, as I started the study some time ago, if you look at the names of the tribes of Israel, like we were just talking about earlier in Revelation 7, as opposed to the those that are listed in Genesis 49, and then once again listed in Ezekiel 48, you see some of the tribes are not only missing, they have been replaced completely. I mean, if you look in Genesis 49, for example, you'll see them all listed at the order of their birth. But Ezekiel 48, you'll notice that Levi and Joseph are missing. And then in Revelation 7, they're back. But then Dan and Ephraim are missing. And so the basic reality here is the 144,000 cannot be declared only as pure-blooded Jews because the Lord himself scattered them. And so we see how replacement theology is found in the Old Testament, New Testament, and now in prophetic word. We find we have all we need to declare that the 144,000 cannot be made up only of pure-blooded Jews or even Jews with mixed lineage alone, for that matter, because they can even hang their hat there and say, well, okay, we can't get the pure-blooded ones because it's just impossible today. But if you got any, you know, like the USA does with the Native Indian thing. If Fran and I wanted to, we could literally live on a reservation because she's got Indian blood in her. Because of Vermont. But that doesn't make her a pure-blooded Indian. It's just like with the Jews. They can come up and say, well, you know, if you got some Jewish blood. Well, I got Jewish blood in me. And so does my wife, too. And so it's, I mean, any person accepting Jesus Christ as Savior can be in this number now. The 144. I mean, as Christians, we know we are grafted into the vine and therefore declared spiritual Israel. No getting around that one either. And I have a page on the site all about how true Israel of God today, as well as a video I made years ago. And so I don't need to go there right now. And it's in box 7 for those of you that want the link of the sermon notes below the chat room. And notice this as well about the 144,000. That number divided among 12 tribes by 12,000 each, is declared as such, prophetically speaking, to mean perfection in the bride of Christ. That's why a lot of people say, okay, well, then there you go. It's just symbolic. It's because of the perfection, the cube, the perfect square, right? Well, a completion on the promise, they also say it's a complete, well, we know it's a completion on the promise of Christ who declared 2,000 years ago in John 17:12 when he was praying for us. He says, while I was with them in the world, now he's talking about the apostles now, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And then later on he starts talking about us because he talks about those who find him via the apostles' message. And so to have a lesser or greater number in prophecy here means something's missing in reality. I mean, if it isn't exactly 144,000, then what is it? And why would the Bible be not so clear on that? And so even here, just as we see in our sanctuary study, which is in box number 7, too, that's a new page on the website, too, by the way. That's the transcript, not my notes. It's literal word-for-word transcript. So this, his truth, you know, our Heavenly Father's truth has some amazing puzzle pieces revealed once again that fills the gaps in our thought process regarding such things. What I mean is, just as Jesus kept all those that were given him, except, of course, he that was prophesied to betray him, Judas, this proves none were missing, because we also saw how Matthias replaced Judas, just like Manasseh and Joseph, and, you know, replacing Dan and Ephraim. And so Matthias replaced Judas, the betrayer, to bring back the number to exactly 12 apostles. In other words, and this leads into question number 2, by the way, which I'm just about to jump into. Are the 144,000 truly 144,000 in number? I mean, having the exact number, or, you know, be it 12 apostles or 144,000 in the Gideon band, is no problem for our Lord. And at the same time, it confirmed once again that replacement theology is a fact. And as we saw earlier in Genesis, in Ezekiel, in Revelation, some in the tribes rebelled and were also replaced as Judas was. Like, that's why Jesus mentioned the grafting into the vine. I mean, take Ephraim, the second son of Joseph, for a bold example. Here, we see him as one of the 12 tribes in Ezekiel, but by the time Revelation is penned, he's no longer counted in the 12, in with the 12. The tribes. But being students of prophecy, we know why, because of what Hosea said. You know, let him alone. He's joined with idols. So that means the 144,000 will not be comprised of only pure-blooded Jews. I mean, it's impossible now because of the intermarriage. And so, just as the Lord was able to keep the exact number the Father gave him 2,000 years ago regarding the 12 apostles, as well as the 120 souls present on the day of Pentecost, that's no mistake, that number. And I'm not talking numerology here either. Please, please, we're not going there. No, I'm not talking numerology. And I'll get into, there's a reason for the numbers, though. But he is doing the same with those that are his followers today when it comes to keeping that number perfect. And this, I believe, is the reason for the perfect number of 144,000. It declares none will be lost, no matter how much Satan and his followers may boast, because that 144, they're the only ones in the history of the humankind or mankind that are going to be able to go through those plagues without bowing to Satan. And the other ones that couldn't handle it, yeah, they'll be dying at the guillotine. But as soon as the last one dies, either by the guillotine or by accepting the mark, that's when the plagues begin. And then the 144,000 go through it without a problem. You know, it's just like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't 11 apostles after Judas fell. Well, it's not going to be 13,999 after so many others have fallen into sin either. It is clearly 144,000, meaning none that have been called in these last days to go forth will be lost to damnation. They have a task set before them, and they will do it. All right? We worship a God of order. If you don't believe me, wait till it's dark. Go outside. Look up. Look at all them stars up there. And they have a task. If we're part of that number, we're going to do it. This is also why I wrote the sermon. It is I. Be not afraid. A couple, 3 weeks ago, I think. I wanted to make a video about that, but that Audacity software ruined it. You know, it crunched it in some weird way. So if you are slated to be in this number, you will see major attacks upon you. And so stand firm and ignore all the waves of Satan, for you do have a prophesied task set before you, and you will do it, period. And think on this as well. As we know, the city of New Jerusalem is a perfect square, and that number, 144,000, is based on the numeric square of 12. That's no mistake. And yes, again, this is also why there were 12 apostles and then 120 disciples present on the day of Pentecost, which, by the way, is a whole nother study on its own. And since we now know being grafted into the vine means you do not have to be a blood-born Jew, just as Romans 2, verses 28 and 29 said, which was, let me get it here, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. We can then put to rest the assumption that you have to be a blood-born Jew to be in the 144,000. And so, digging a tad deeper so as to clear up any confusion that may arrive regarding the number, you know, the 144. Is it truly a literal number, though? Or is that number merely symbolic? Well, let me ask you this. We know there's 12 apostles, right? Now notice this. It says something in Revelation 21:14 that may clarify things up a bit for those wrestling in this area. It says this. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Well, since we know there are literally 12 apostles, and then those 12 are mentioned and even have their names engraved on the foundations of the city we're headed for, does it not become obvious that numbers in prophecy actually have to do with numbers in reality? What I mean is, they're not prophetic. So that being said, how about another question to clear it up? How many months are there in a year? 12, right? Now check this out. Revelation 22:2, and you'll some of you are going to catch on where I'm going here with this. Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street of it, you know, the city of New Jerusalem, you're standing in there and you're looking forward and you see this. It says, so in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life. Wit. Sound is out. All right, hold on. Okay, how about now? All right. You know, I don't know. It's not turning red. Well, not on my side. I don't know what's going on there. Let me just do a quick check here because this is the crux of this sermon right here in regards to the 144 and the number. So I got to get this thing out of my hand. I keep hitting my hand with it and it makes noises. All right, we're good with the download. All right, good. WTPR is down? No, it's not. It's still in the room, and I can see the bar going across. Okay, all right. Okay, we're good. It could be that flash thing again, you know. I don't think Windows 10 likes flash, so I got to deal with it, you know. Anyway. And so where did I leave off, Alex? I'm sorry. Okay, I found it in my notes. So it becomes obvious that numbers in prophecy have to do with numbers in reality. And so that being said, I'm going to ask another question. Revelation 22:2. Now, did you hear any of this? Anybody that PMs me would be nice because I can't see the chat. You don't have to turn the, but I don't know. But I guess I didn't. It doesn't matter. I did share. Well, I'm gonna do it again because I don't really. Okay, good. I don't. No, I'm saying. Did you hear the comments I had on Revelation 22:2? I don't even think I. No, I didn't read it. Okay, so because we just found out that there's 12 foundations. And 12 apostles, right? And we also know that there's 12 months to a year, right? Now check it out. Revelation 22:2. Right? It says this. In the midst of the street of it. Now that's the city of New Jerusalem. Oh, okay. All right, well, then that, yeah, if the DSL connect, like if the lower version of the WTPR is not working, click the other one. It's 32 and 16 bits, so pick one. But thanks for letting me know, Ronald. All right, so in the midst of the tree of it, midst of the street of it, that's in New Jerusalem, and on either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. So according to our own Bibles, this tree has 12 manner of fruits on it, and it yields this fruit each month. And we also know, living on a planet that orbits a sun, that in reality takes 12 months to do so, that means months mentioned in this passage that coincide with the 12 manner of fruit openly declares unto us that numbers and prophecy seem to just stay numbers. 12 foundations, 12 apostles, 12 fruits for each month, 12 months of the year. All right, so there's no prophetic. But to further clarify it, I'm going to ask another question. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the 32 kilobit one is working for WTPR, for those of you listening in. Because I didn't. Yeah, the numbers went down a little bit. You got 16 families on the radio right now. Okay, so another question. How many tribes are there in Israel? Okay, dumb question, I know, but there's 12. Now check it out, because we just covered this a couple of minutes ago. In the study that we were doing on the sanctuary, Revelation 21:12. This is why I'm saying this sanctuary study and this sermon intertwine. And again, I do my sanctuary studies for the church family months in advance. So I don't even remember when I was doing that study. I just do the proofread for the notes on Thursday, and by Thursday, my notes are already on the website for the sermon. So, the sermon is usually done on Wednesday. And so, anyway, Revelation 21:12, and it says it had a wall great and high that surrounds the city of New Jerusalem, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So, no getting around that one. 12 tribes, 12 gates. That's one gate for each tribe. It doesn't seem to take a rocket scientist to do the math here, does it? And there's no pun intended here, because numbers just mean numbers. And then if you look in Daniel's books, and then jump forward into John's book, titled Revelation, we see a certain number is given regarding the Great Tribulation period being 1,260 days, of which we know, being students of prophecy, means 1,260 years, because Ezekiel 4:6 says, I've appointed thee a day for a year, just as Numbers 14:34 said, when describing what a day in prophecy means. You know, because he said each day for a year in that passage. But the term day was defined as a year in prophecy, just as oil means Holy Spirit, or symbols like blue mean obedience, and woman means church, you know. But when it comes to numbers, they are never given a double meaning. They are always declared as they are, numbers. Even the number 666, for the name of a man of sin, is an actual numeric sum that when you add his Latin title up. No, because Latin is both their alphabet as well as their numeric system in pagan Rome. So it just stays a number. And so even here, the number stands simply as a number. Plus, notice this in Revelation. After declaring the number, now here's the clincher on this too, because a lot of people miss this. After declaring the number 144,000, it says something right afterwards that confirms that number of 144,000 is in fact literal. Revelation 7, verses 2 to 4. Okay, let me knock these PMs out of the way. I want to make sure my mic is red. And radio, okay, the radio's got the bar going across. It's good. Revelation 7, verses 2 to 4, it says, And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Okay, this is right before the plagues hit. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So, and yes, because it says they were sealed of the tribes of Israel, this is where those that surface read the Bible, and especially surface reading prophecy, can get so confused. They think because the name Israel is being mentioned here, that it must mean just Jews make up that number. Hence the reason I started the sermon with explaining how that can't possibly be the case. Just as Judas was replaced, so were some of the tribes replaced. But notice this. Directly after that perfect number, 144,000 is proclaimed in the prophecy, it then goes on to mention how 12,000 from each tribe was selected, as we know, but it then says this, after that's all said and done, it lists all the tribes' names that have already had their names replaced and stuff, gives 12,000 for each, and then it says this in verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And the thing that most people miss, even theologians, is the fact that it says which no man can number. Think about this. One moment it gives an actual number of 144,000, confirming not one was lost. Just like the 12 apostles, Matthias took the place of Judas, so no one's lost. If you decide to get lost, the Lord's got someone standing in line. All right? So no one was lost. The next moment in the prophecy, after it mentions that 144,000, it declares a great multitude that no man can number. But wait a second. How is it the Lord's giving us a total of 144,000 and then a number that, now here is the key, so listen closely. It says it's a great multitude that no man can number. It's because of the perfection in his will, his wisdom, and his power. And what I mean is, Jesus literally said, remember this, in Matthew 10:30? that the very hairs of your head are all numbered? I mean, think about that. I mean, that means our God knows the number of the great multitude as well. He's not a God. He's got no problem with it. And this is why he said no man can number that number. But the 144,000 are slated for a certain duty that no other people ever do in history. He specifically gave that number to the very last soul involved in it for a reason. You got to know he knows how many people are in the great multitude. I mean, he's counted all their hairs, so he's not going to have a problem counting them. And so, I have to ask, besides the fact that our Lord already knows the number for the great multitude and the 144,000, why is it one group is openly numbered and the other is not? Well, for the same reason, we saw 12 apostles, yet many thousands of people that came to accept Jesus Christ, as well as millions, and hopefully billions, the last 2,000 years. The apostles had a certain duty to perform at the start of the church, which brought in many souls, just as the 144,000 will have a special duty in the last days to finalize the number in that great multitude. Because even before the plagues fall, some of us are already slated to be in that number, and we're going out and we're doing the work, and we're making sure the great multitude will be great. So that is why when the latter rain falls more abundantly, we will be able to do as the apostles did when it comes to seeing thousands saved by a single sermon. The healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, giving sight unto the blind, and so on. And just so you know, I believe that since 12 plays a major part in all this, we see 12 apostles, 120 souls at Pentecost, which is a multitude of 12. 12 tribes, the 12 patriarchs in Scripture, Solomon's 12 officers, 12,000 from each tribe, the 144,000, which is also a multiple of 12, and, you know, a perfect square, the 12 gates, the 12 foundations, and the city itself is a perfect square of 12,000 furlongs. I mean, I have to believe the great multitude is also a multitude of 12 that the Lord will reveal once we get to heaven. You know, we don't need to know this now. And since because that's why it says no man can number it. Well, wait till we get home. He'll tell us what the number is if we have to know. But why? Who cares? Look what happened when David tried the number of Israel. Does it matter? No. And since our Lord has 12 literally all over his word from the Old and the New Testament, why wouldn't the 144,000, a multitude of 12, be a literal number just as all the 12s in Scripture are? The people that say it's not literal and it's only symbolic is putting God in a box saying, you can't get that accurate, God. Come on. They forget the fact that he counted his hairs when he was saying that from his pulpit. If he can get that accurate to count how many hairs you have in your left eyebrow, for example, how is he going to miss counting, you know, making sure he's got 144 or 12 or 12 tribes or 12 gates or 12 foundations? I mean, it just goes on. And for those of you striving to be in that number, think on this as well. 12 apostles stepped out to do a special duty so as to eventually preach unto millions, which can and will be done in the very same way when the 144,000 step out to preach unto billions. And by the way, this truth of a literal number exposes yet another rather powerless and not very popular lie due to its idiocy that has been circulated by some who claim the 144,000 will be saved, or only 144,000 will be saved in the last days. If it's only 144,000 being saved, then who are those that are standing in those white robes carrying palms in their hands in the great multitude that no man can number? They always forget that one. And yes, some will claim these are those that died during the Great Tribulation. Okay, you know, okay, fine, some people hang their hat there, but Jesus, you know, was pretty clear about what he said in Matthew 24. And they would be correct to some extent, but as we know, the Great Tribulation between 538 AD to 1798 AD was not the only period of tribulation prophesied for the people of God in the Word. The Great Tribulation was called great for a reason, what went down during those years, those 1,260 years. But as students of prophecy, we also know of those that are being killed right now in what's called the little time of trouble, as well as those that are going to be beheaded for refusing to receive the mark of the beast in the near future. So they haven't even died yet. And so, is it not written? Because the fact of the matter is, my point was, they say that the great multitude are those that died during the Great Tribulation. If they hang their hat on our rack, where it says it happened during 538 to 1798. But that means they got to forget about what's going to go on in the future with the mark being enforced, with the guillotine. So, is it not written in Revelation 20, verse 4? it says this, and I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so notice Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2, what it says here. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Okay, that's an accurate number too, but he's not giving it, obviously, because that's that great multitude as well. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And yes, see, I only got about 5, maybe 7 or 8 minutes left, and so thank you for being patient with me. And so again, yes, we know the Inquisition was one time of great tribulation, and then we see the time of Jacob's trouble happens at the very end. And how do I know this speaks of the very end? Well, if you've ever done a study in Daniel 11, you will see how the very last verse says in Daniel 11:45, when speaking of the king of the north, who we know to be the Vatican, regardless of what others are claiming regarding Turkey, it says, and I got a page all about that, two of them, in fact, it says that he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. As we see by studying Revelation 18, when judgment finally falls upon the Vatican, who is declared modern-day Babylon in that chapter, no one will be able to, or even want, to step up to help the Pope at this time. I mean, in the past, the popes of Rome always used their government pawns at any given time in history to keep their political power stable. Except, of course, during the prophesied wound of 1798. But now, as it fell in the past, it now falls in the future. You know, Babylon has fallen, is fallen. There's a reason it's mentioned twice. But like the second death, there are no more chances to step up to try again at that, you know, after this time. It's finally done. And no one's going to help Rome because no one can stand against Jesus Christ who stands up that day in a very graphic manner when that eastern sky rips wide open. And so those in the great multitude that no man can number are not just those that died during the Inquisition. They are those beheaded by the Pope. Some of them are those that beheaded by the Pope in obedience even unto death and refused the mark. And just so you know, that prophecy can in no way be depicted as past tense when it comes to prophetic events because the mark hasn't been enforced yet. It happens at the end of the world. And so the 144,000 is a literal number, and the great multitude that is mentioned next is so great in number that it is considered immeasurable by mankind. The 144,000 are those who keep the law of God and they obey the Lord in love and have no fear of damnation. These blessed few, 144,000 in number, will be sealed by the Lord himself as the prophecy states. They openly refuse to obey the Pope like the billions around them. They show absolute allegiance to the authority of the ever-living God of creation. In so doing, they stand in that perfect number to announce to every soul alive that Jesus has not lost a single one of them as promised. Even during such an intense time as this, they are remained strong in the Lord. And yes, this is at the tail end, like they just watched who knows how many millions of people get beheaded, and still they're standing firm. And so again, this is why most Christians will be allowed to die in many different ways, including martyrdom, because for whatever reason, they never fully prepared to be strong enough to stand during the plagues of Revelation. But our God is a merciful God, and so he allows them to sleep during the plagues. And so don't let it scare you if, because dying is like going to sleep every night. We all do it. So it's not hard to die. The hard part about dying is the people that are left behind alive that grieve for you. Dying is a piece of cake. People have been doing it for, you know, 6,000 years. And because the Gideon band have prepared and have an assured faith in whom they worship and therefore will not bow to the Pope no matter what, and we all know the Pope is in direct allegiance with Satan. We all know that. They are, you know, the 144, the Gideon band, are not slated for death like everyone else at this time. That is alive, that is. I mean, the wrath of God can only fall after they are sealed, for it is plainly written in Revelation 7:3 that the angels being readied to do so as they prophesied to do. They are told at this time to hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. That hurt mentioned here is, in fact, the seven last plagues. Once the Gideon band is sealed, the plagues will fall. And it is at and it also, it's not just when the Gideon band is sealed, it's also when the last person to accept the mark of the beast is, and the last person is martyred. It all happens at the same time, I would think, on the same day. We don't know when, of course, but it doesn't matter to us. We'll be ready if we're part of that number. But so the plagues will fall, and it is at this time that there's only going to be two classes of people alive on earth. 144,000 who will never die, and the rest, billions in number, that will die. And yes, if you're wondering, the seal of God is received not only as a sign of obedience, it is also an open sign of protection from the wicked souls that are hell-bent on killing the obedient people of God. For refusing to bow, they're going to try to kill us because we refuse to bow to the mark of the beast. Sadly, the remaining souls who refuse to deny their flesh, that cries out for the creature comforts of life, have absolutely no protection now from the wrath of God. And therefore, they are marked for death. And so I say, prepare, brothers and sisters, prepare that you are worthy to not only stand firm in Jesus, but to stand firm during the plagues of Revelation, after you've seen so many die. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
When Israel
I got to tell you, that is one of my... I got quite a few favorites, and that's one of them. I love that song. So if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very, very much for blessing us on the Sabbath day with a solid connection online so that we can go forth and share the changing of the showbread. Thank you for blessing us with an understanding of the Word and giving us an opportunity to share it with others. Thank you for giving us utterance when we need it, and thank you for closing our lips when we need it. And thank you also for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with that latter rain if we are so worthy. We want to go forth and glorify you, Father, but you know our hearts better than we do. And so thank you for loving us and being such a merciful Father. Please bless everyone here in attendance and the radio and the phone and here in the room. And even bless those that come against us and try to throw a monkey wrench in the works to try to prevent the truth from going forth. Bless them and forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they're doing. And thank you for blessing this week ahead of us and the remainder of the Sabbath day and all those that are on our prayer list and those that were mentioned in the room earlier. We love you, we trust you, and we worship you. And we thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Israel has a king. His name is Jesus. Amen.